Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Lila, Chapter 1. I worship their lordships, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, whose long arms extend down to their knees, and whose beautiful complexions are the radiant yellow of molten gold, and whose elongated eyes are like red lotuses. They are the topmost of the Brahmins, the guardians of the religious principles of the age, the munificent benefactors of all living entities, and the most compassionate incarnations of Godhead. They initiated the congregational chanting of the names of Lord Krishna. O Lord, you are the eternal truth, past, present, and future. And you appeared as the son of Sri Jagannath Mishra. I offer my repeated obeisances unto you, along with your inseparable servitors, your unalloyed devotees, your sons, which can refer to his renounced Goswami disciples, or the devotional process of chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, and your relatives, Bhudevi as Sri Vishnu Priya, Sri Devi as Sri Lakshmi Priya, and Lila, Nila, or Durga as Navadweep Dham. I worship the two brothers, the supreme controllers, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who are the embodiment of magnanimity. By their inconceivable potency, they are the transcendental, eternal, supreme controllers of all. Now they have descended to the material world. All glories to Sri Gaurasundar, the supremely powerful Lord of pure transcendence. He has an aura of molten gold, with lotus petal eyes, and six long, graceful arms extending to his knees. While he sings the glories of the Lord, he dances in various pleasing postures, his heart inundated by the ecstatic emotions of devotional mellows. All glories to the moon-like Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He is the fully independent Supreme Person, always engaged in transcendental pastimes. All glories to the devotees of Lord Gauranga, the Supreme Lord of all lords. He is the Lord of the universe, the Supreme Controller of all controllers, and the personification of transcendence. All glories to his devotees. All glories to the ecstatic dancing of the Lord's intimate and dear associates. In the beginning, I offer my humble obeisances at the feet of the loving confidential devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya. I then offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He incarnated in Navadweep, and his name is Vishvambar. That same Supreme Personality of Godhead has declared in the Vedas and Bhagavat, worship of my devotees is superior to worship of me. Lord Krishna said to Uddhava, O Uddhava, serving my devotees is many times better than worshiping me. Therefore, in the beginning of this book, I offered my worshipful prayers to the devotees of the Lord. Thus, there is a chance of success in my present endeavor. I offer my respectful obeisances to my worshipable Lord and spiritual master, Sri Nityananda Roy, by whose mercy the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya become spontaneously manifest. We should glorify the Supreme Lord Balaram incessantly with 1,000 tongues, for his 1,000 mouths are engaged constantly in praising Lord Krishna. Just as priceless gems are kept in secure custody, so also the invaluable jewel of knowledge of Lord Krishna's pastimes is kept safely in the mouth of Lord Anantadev. Therefore, the mouth that first glorifies Lord Balaram can automatically vibrate the transcendental pastime of Lord Sri Chaitanya. The Supreme Lord Haladhar holds his thousand hoods like snakes. He is a gigantic figure and the source of all inspiration. As Lord Nityananda, he is fully transcendental and eternally existent, intoxicated by the nectar of Lord Sri Chaitanya. Whoever sings or hears about Nityananda's supramundane character is offered the supreme shelter of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Mahesh and his consort Parvati Devi take great pleasure in eulogizing their object of love, Lord Sankarshan, Nityananda Prabhu. Their tongues pour out nectarian devotional hymns. As a pure devotee, Sri Shiva worships his Lord Sankarshan in the association of Parvati Devi and a million other fresh young maidens. All this is revealed in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Balaram is worshipped by the entire Vaishnav world with songs of praise. Lord Balaram danced with his gopis in Vrindavan, enjoying their company. Their rasa dance is the pinnacle of sublimity. The Puranas describe that Lord Balaram performed his rasa dance pastime for the 2 months of spring, Madhava and Madhu. The Srimad Bhagavatam verses narrating this subject were spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. Lord Balaram spent the moonlit nights of the months of Vaishakha and Chaitra in the supramundane abode of Vrindavan, in the company of the cowherd damsels, increasing their conjugal love. The place was set aglow with the rays of the moon. The lotus and kadamba flowers bloomed freely by the influence of the moon's rays, and the soft breeze plundered their scent. In the groves on the bank of the Yamuna, surrounded by the gopis, Lord Balaram enjoyed the dance. The Supreme Lord Balaram, like a priceless, exquisite gem, decorated by the circle of the gopis, performed pleasurable pastimes with them, acting like Lord Indra's elephant, Airavata, the king of the she-elephants. The Gandharvas offered their prayers. The sound of the kettle drums rose from the heavens. The demigods joyously showered flowers upon them, and the Gandharvas and sages worshipped the Supreme Lord Balaram with verses praising his heroism. The sages unequivocally denounce associating with women, yet now they sing hymns in praise of Lord Balaram's rasa dance with his cowherd damsels. The demigods attended Lord Balaram's rasa dance to shower flower petals. They knew that there was no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram Haladhar. The transcendental qualities of Lord Balaram are obscure in the four Vedas, but the Puranas describe them boldly. What power do I have to describe them? Due to ignorance, some ignore the Puranas and reject Lord Balaram's rasa dance as unauthentic. The two brothers, Lord Krishna and Balaram, performed the rasa dance with the gopis in the same place in Vrindavan. On the radiant, holy, full moon night, immediately at the end of Shivaratri Vrata, superheroic Lord Sri Krishna and Lord Balaram, with their cowherd boyfriends, enjoyed themselves in the midst of the beautiful maidens of Vrindavan. They were both pleasingly decorated with the finest jewelry, sandalwood pulp, wild flower garlands, and exquisite clothes. Those greatly fortunate damsels sang sweetly, their hearts enraptured with love for Krishna and Balaram. Evening had not set in. The moon and the stars appeared. The fragrance of the Arabian jasmine intoxicated the bumblebees, and a light breeze carried the aromas of white lilies and lotus flowers. Lord Krishna and Balaram, considering this very moment to be appropriate, began their pleasurable dalliances. Lord Govinda, Krishna, and Lord Balaram sang together for the pleasure of all living entities, their voices rising and falling melodically. If a person, after reading Srimad Bhagavatam, is not affectionately inclined towards Lord Balaram, then he is rejected by the Supreme Lord Vishnu and his devotees. In the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, a non-believer is a yavana. He is destined to suffer in hell birth after birth. There are others who, like eunuchs, make emotional gesticulations challenging, which scripture describes the rasa dance of Lord Balaram? Who is so sinful that even after reading the scriptures, he does not accept the truth, but misinterprets the real meaning and gives his own distorted meaning? Lord Balaram is the abode of the moon-like Lord Chaitanya's deep affection. Offense at his lotus feet destroys all possibilities for salvation. Lord Balaram, in his incarnation as Lakshman, the younger brother of Lord Ramachandra, enacted the role of the Lord's servitor. Yet, as the Supreme Lord Balaram serves himself in every respect, as a friend and a brother, by fanning him, putting him to sleep, glorifying him with Vedic invocations, and expanding himself as his house, umbrella, attire, jewelry, and seat, O Lord, your direct partial expansion, Lord Shesha, is the source of all the various ingredients for your service in the transcendental realm of Vaikuntha Loka. And he is famous in his manifestations as your residence, bed, throne, shoes, clothes, jewelry, etc. When shall I see you with Lakshmi Devi, seated on the throne of Lord Anantashesh? Lord Anantashesh's partial expansion is the mighty Sri Garuda, whose satisfaction is derived from acting as the Lord's carrier in every pastime. His devotees include Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Srila Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, Narada Muni, etc. Lord Ananta's glorious qualities are unlimited and not fully known to everyone. He is the original personality, the greatest mystic, the supreme lord, and the greatest devotee of the Vaishnavas. Thus far you have heard about Lord Shesha's wonderful mood of service. Now hear about his great opulence. He is enthroned in the lower planetary system of Patala as his own source and repose. He is worshipped by all as his thousand mouths continually taste the full nectar of love of Godhead. In the court of Lord Brahma, Narada Muni plays on his veena, and with well-composed verses, he sings the wonderful glories of Lord Ananta. Is it humanly possible to know the supramundane nature of Lord Sri Anantadev? Just by his glance, he sets in motion the three modes of material nature, which are the cause of this world's creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Although he is one, he supports the entire variegated material cosmic manifestation himself within the pores of his person. He is beginningless and eternal. Who other than Lord Sankarshan is the shelter of persons devoid of all material aspirations? He is the support on which the material world manifests and acts. That Supreme Lord, cause of all causes, being profusely merciful to us, has appeared in his sublime spiritual form. He is the most powerful. In comparison, the lion's power is but an insignificant fraction. He performs pure transcendental pastimes to capture the hearts of his dear devotees. Who other than Lord Sankarshan is the shelter of persons totally indifferent to material progress? That Supreme Lord Sri Anantadev destroys countless sins by manifesting his transcendental form. What more is there to say than this? Just by proper hearing, or by accidental hearing, or by sincerely crying out for help, or even if a degraded person tauntingly utters the name of Lord Sri Ananta, then he is certainly purged and purified. Lord Anantadev's mighty potency is beyond any measure. That Supreme Lord carries on just one of his thousand heads the entire universe with all its living entities, mountains and rivers, and it seems like a minute atomic speck. Even if a person acquires a thousand tongues, how can he describe the power of the omnipotent Supreme Lord? Lord Anantadev is his own shelter and source. He is mighty with unlimited power and strength. Yet remaining in the lower planetary system of Rasatala, he holds this gigantic cosmic manifestation with indifferent ease. This material world's creation, maintenance, and annihilation, as well as the three modes of material nature, are activated by his glance. Who can fathom Anantadev's non-dual, transcendental, eternal, and unborn existence? Out of mercy, the Lord manifests his supermundane spiritual form while he performs his variegated pastimes. All living entities reside within that transcendental form. The mighty Lord Nrsimhadev represents but a wave in the ocean of the Lord's unlimited pastimes, which satisfy the souls of his devotees. Lord Anantadev's unlimited names, when heard by or chanted by anyone in any manner, immediately sever the noose of innumerable births and deaths. Thus the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord always appreciate those who glorify him. Lord Anantashesh is the supreme destination of the entire universe. His holy name is the only means for the living entity's redemption. The Lord holds on his head the unlimited material nature, along with its mountains and oceans, simply for its protection and maintenance. The entire universe is a speck on one of his thousand hoods, but with his unlimited power, he does not feel it. Lord Anantadev, the original Supreme Personality and holder of the entire cosmic manifestation, incessantly sings the glorification of Lord Krishna, whose attributes are unending. But because both Lord Krishna and Lord Ananta are supremely powerful, neither is victorious over the other. Even today, Lord Shesha's thousand mouths continuously sing the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna Chaitanya. How wonderfully Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram compete with each other. Brahma, Shiva, other demigods, and the perfected sages look on, feeling great exhilaration. The eulogies of Lord Anantadev pursue the ever-expanding elusive shores of Lord Krishna's ocean of qualities. O Narada, I, Brahma, and your elders, Sanak, and other sages cannot even fathom the extent of this material nature, what to speak of knowing the Supreme Lord's spiritual potencies. Lord Anantadev, the origin of all demigods, is unable till today to exhaustively glorify the Supreme Lord's transcendental opulence and potencies with his thousand mouths. Therefore, how is it possible for ordinary mortals to know such subject matters? Lord Anantadev, master of unlimited potencies, resides in Rasatal only to support the entire material creation. In the court of Lord Brahma, Narada Muni plays his veena and sings about these very same transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord. Brahma and others are stunned in ecstasy upon hearing the Supreme Lord's transcendental qualities, and Narada Muni is worshipped by all because he sings about those qualities. I have also been moved to write a few phrases in praise of the unlimited potencies of Lord Nityananda, Anantadev. So I humbly request all of you to develop a loving devotional mood toward the Lord. Those desirous of crossing over the dangerous ocean of material existence, yet drown in the ocean of devotional ecstasy, may take shelter of Lord Nityananda. I pray to the merciful Vaishnav devotees of the Lord to fulfill my heart's yearning, that I may serve my Lord Balaram birth after birth. Just as Dwija, Vipra, and Brahma are different names for the same person. Similarly, Nityananda, Ananta, and Balaram are different names for the same Supreme Personality. My Lord Nityananda Prabhu appeared within my heart and instructed me to narrate the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this book. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are revealed by Lord Nityananda's mercy only, because his personal expansion, Lord Sesha, is the storehouse of information of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna's pastimes. Although Sri Ananta Shesh is the embodiment of Krishna Kirtan, I have been able to offer only a humble prayer in his honor. Hearing Lord Chaitanya's qualities and pastimes can clean away all material contaminations. Know for certain that such pastimes are revealed only through a pure devotee's grace. For who can know the nature and pastimes of Lord Chaitanya? It is a hidden mystery even in the Vedas. Therefore, I have compiled only first-hand accounts taken directly from the lips of the associates of the Lord. I see no beginning or end of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. They are eternal and unlimited, and only the Lord's grace gives me the potency to compose them. I am simply Lord Chaitanya's mouthpiece, repeating as he desires, just like a doll moved by some unseen hand. I throw myself at the feet of all pure Vaishnava devotees, so they may cleanse me of all offenses. Oh, my brothers, please listen very attentively to the transcendental pastimes Lord Chaitanya performed with his devotee associates. The ecstatic pastimes of Lord Chaitanya have been divided into three periods: early, intermediate, and later, Adi, Madhya, and Antya. The early period includes a description of the Lord's education, and the intermediate portion reveals Mahaprabhu's pastimes of congregational chanting. The concluding portion describes the Lord's pastimes as a sannyasi in Nilachala, Orissa. He had allocated to Lord Nityananda the mission of preaching in Bengal. The pious Sri Jagannath Mishra, Lord Chaitanya's father, lived in Navadweep. Like Vasudev, he conscientiously performed his spiritual duties. His devout and devoted wife, Srimati Sachi Devi, was a second Devaki, the beloved mother of everyone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, appeared in the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi, and as Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he became the most precious possession of everyone's heart. The Adi Kanda begins by describing the appearance of Lord Chaitanya on an auspicious full moon evening in the month of Phalgun, when the moon went into eclipse. The tumultuous sound of Lord Hari's holy name filled all directions, inspiring everyone to chant together, and the Supreme Lord Chaitanya was born amidst the chanting. The Adi Kanda also describes the Lord's numerous childhood pastimes. Lord Chaitanya revealed to his parents his otherwise unmanifest place of residence, the Holy Dham. He also exhibits to his wonderstruck parents the physical signs of divinity on his feet, such as the flagstaff, lightning, etc. This portion of the book describes how one day thieves kidnapped Lord Chaitanya from his house, but being tricked by the Lord, they brought him back home. Another story narrated here is how the Lord ate all the food offered to Lord Vishnu in the house of Jagadish and Hiranya on Ekadasi day. Yet another story describes how the Lord once sat on a pile of contaminated cooking pots and used the situation to instruct his mother in philosophy. He also acted like a crying baby, and with that ploy made everyone chant the holy names of God. The Adi Kanda also discusses the Lord as a child playing with his friends as if he were Krishna in Gokula. It describes how he began his education and with little effort mastered all the scriptures. It narrates Sri Jagannath Mishra's disappearance and Vishwaroop's taking sannyas, and how these two disasters afflicted Mother Sachi. Then it describes the Lord's wonderful pastimes as a student. He was pride personified before the other student scholars. Chaitanya's travels through eastern Bengal are also described here, elaborating on how the land became a place of pilgrimage by the touch of his lotus feet. Chaitanya was the master of all different scriptures. There was no one in the three worlds to challenge his erudition. The Adi Kanda describes the Lord's sporting with his fellow students and their water pastimes in the waves of the Ganga. Then came the Lord's first marriage and the glorious disappearance of his first wife. He duly accepted a second wife, the daughter of a royal scholar. Once he pretended to be sick from a wind disorder. He took that opportunity to reveal symptoms of love of Godhead. While the Lord roamed about as a great scholar, he empowered all the devotees who surrendered to him. This story is also told in the Adi Kanda. The narration of the early life of Sri Chaitanya includes a description of the immense joy on Mother Sachi's face when she looked at the moon-like, blissful face and the graceful clothes of the Lord. Then there is a story of how Nimai Pandit piqued the pride of a scholar who was renowned as Digvijay, world conqueror. Ultimately, the Lord slashed that scholar's material bonds. The Lord put everyone, even his devotee, into illusion about his real identity, and he roamed the streets of Navadvip deceiving all. There is also a description of the Lord's pilgrimage to Gaya Dham and how he showered causeless mercy on Ishwarapuri by accepting him as his spiritual master. Adi Kanda is a reservoir of the Lord's never-ending pleasurable pastimes. In the future, Srila Vyasadeva, the greatest of sages, will describe other pastimes. But herein, I reveal the early pastimes of the Lord up to the time he returns from his visit to Gaya Dham. In Madhya Kanda, the Lord's omnipotence becomes known, and gradually his devotees are identified as they collect around his lotus feet like bees. Chaitanya reveals his absolute identity as Lord Narayan by sitting on the altar of Lord Vishnu in the houses of Sri Advaita and Srivas Pandit. Sri Chaitanya meets Nityananda Prabhu, and together the brothers make wonderful Krishna Kirtan. Then Lord Nityananda's vision of the transcendental six-handed form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described. Later, the Lord exhibited his universal form to Advaitacharya Prabhu. Lord Nityananda's Vyas Puja has been described in Madhya Kanda, along with a story of how he was slandered by some faithless atheists. Thereafter comes the description of Lord Chaitanya's manifestation as Lord Balaram, when Lord Nityananda gave him his plow and club. The wonderful redemption of the two reprobates, Jagai and Madai, who were later become quite famous, is told in detail. Mother Sachi's vision of Sri Chaitanya, who is Krishna, in a blackish complexion, and Sri Nityananda, who is Balaram, in a whitish complexion, is also discussed. Lord Chaitanya once showed his unlimitedly opulent Mahaprakash form for several hours, and that story is told in Madhya Kanda. On that occasion, he revealed the transcendental truth about himself and the real identity of all his devotees. Thereafter, there is a description of the occasion when Lord Chaitanya, who is the Lord of Vaikuntha Narayan and the Supreme Absolute Truth, danced and chanted as he narrated the truth about himself. In Madhya Kanda, the Lord breaks Chand Kazi's pride, and manifesting his own spiritual potency, he engages in continuous congregational chanting. Chand Kazi received devotional service by the Lord's grace. Immersed in ecstatic bliss, Sri Chaitanya thereafter moved from village to village performing kirtan. He declared the truth about himself as he exhibits his Varaha Roop, a four-armed form, while riding around the courtyard on the back of his devotee Murari Gupta. The Lord also ate the rice of Suklambar, which was collected by begging, and performed many wonderful pastimes in his manifestation of Lord Narayan. In Madhya Kanda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears before the devotees in the guise of Mahalakshmi or Rukmini Devi, the universal mother who breastfed all the devotees who were her dependent sons. The Lord once chastised Mukunda for keeping bad company, and later, when he was satisfied with Mukunda's obedience, he favored him with grace. Then there is a narration of the ecstatic all-night kirtans in Navadweep, which were held regularly for a complete year. Madhya Kanda describes the mock verbal fights between Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaitacharya. Only a foolish person thinks that these were actual disagreements. Then the Lord instructed his mother and simultaneously warned the whole world about the grievous consequences of offending Vaishnava devotees. Satisfied by the prayers of his devotees, the Lord gave individual benedictions to each of them. Srila Haridas Thakur received Mahaprabhu's mercy, and the Lord showed compassion towards Sridhar by drinking water from his pot. The Lord blissfully performed daily pastimes in the waters of the Ganga with all his devotees. Once he and Nityananda Prabhu visited the house of Advaitacharya Prabhu for a specific reason. It is described that the Lord heavily chastised Advaitacharya, but at last he showed immeasurable grace on him. Then the Madhya Kanda describes how the extremely fortunate Sri Murari Gupta became enlightened about the true identity of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda as Krishna and Balaram respectively. Those two supreme personalities danced in ecstasy in the house of Srivas. In Madhya Kanda, the Lord explains the entire philosophical truth about human life, using Srivas's expired son as the speaker. In this way, he alleviated everyone's suffering. News of this incident spread far, and by the Lord's grace, Srivas could overcome the shock of his son's death. In another story narrated in Madhya Kanda, the Lord threw himself into the Ganga, and Nityananda Prabhu and Srila Haridas Thakur lifted him out. Then, Srimati Narayani received a treasure desired even by the demigods and Lord Brahma. She received the remnants of the Lord's foodstuffs. The final story in the Madhya Kanda is the pastime of the Lord leaving home and accepting the renounced order of life for the salvation of every living entity. There are uncountable pastimes of the Lord in the Madhya Kanda. Whatever remains untouched will be described later by Srila Vyasadeva. As the Sesha Kanda opens, Vishvambhar is in the sannyas order of life, and he has accepted the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He has shaven his head clean, thereby plunging Advaitacharya Prabhu into deep despondency. Mother Sachi's suffering is unbearable, yet she is sustained by the Lord's mercy. Lord Nityananda, the manifestation of Balaram, smashed Chaitanya's sannyas danda, and thereafter the Lord concealed his real identity and went to Nilachala Puri. Chaitanya playfully taunted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya when they first met, but later he exhibited his six-handed form to him. The Lord mercifully graced King Prataparudra with devotional service and lived thereafter in the house of Kashimishra. During Chaitanya's stay in Puri, both Swarup Damodar and Paramananda Puri became eligible to confidentially serve the Lord. Seshakanda also describes Chaitanya's trip through Bengal on his way to Mathura and Vrindavan. He stayed in Vidya Vachaspati's residence before moving on to the village of Kulia in Bengal. Millions of people gathered to see the Lord on his return to Bengal, and all who saw him were liberated. Chaitanya attempted to continue on his trip to Mathura, but after a short distance, he turned back to Bengal. This story is described in the Seshakanda. When the Lord returned to Nilachala, he engaged in continuous kirtans with his associates. He sent Lord Nityananda to preach in Bengal, while he himself remained in Nilachala with a handful of devotees. The Lord and all his devotees danced ecstatically before Lord Jagannath's chariot. The Lord's travels to Rameshwaram in South India and his journey to Mathura through the Jarikanda forest are also described in Seshakanda. Later, the Lord showered grace on Roy Ramananda and performed other divine pastimes he performed in Mathura. The magnanimous Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also graced Dabir Khas by revealing his identity to him. He liberated Dabir Khas and his brother and renamed them both. They became the famous Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. In Seshakanda, the Lord's travels to Varanasi are described. The sannyasis of Varanasi could not recognize the Supreme Lord because they were too critical of the Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thereafter returned to Nilachala and became engrossed in congregational Hari Kirtan throughout the day and night. Lord Nityananda traveled throughout India as a wandering mendicant. His pilgrimage is described in Seshakanda. Who can understand Lord Nityananda's unfathomable, transcendental character? He roamed about Mathura with ankle bells on his feet. On Sri Chaitanya's request, he went to Panihati and distributed devotional service, love of God, to everyone. Through his causeless mercy, he saved Nahamala Roy and other merchants of that locality. In Seshakanda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's remaining 18 years in Nilachala are described. Although numerous pastimes are related about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Vyasadeva will later tell them all in detail. Lord Nityananda finds endless joy in glorifying Lord Chaitanya, and he is an unmatched expert in that art. O Lord Chaitanya, please bless me so that I may receive the transcendental service of Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. He is the Lord of the entire universe. I have narrated in brief the contents of this book at the very outset. All of you, please hear with undivided attention the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are my life and soul. I, Vrindavan Das, offer my humble song at their lotus feet.